sports, politics, life, Buck Roofing presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
It's NFL draft week in Kansas City, and I got to admit that I underestimated the NFL in Kansas City, and I rarely do that. You know, if you listen to this podcast, what I think of football, what I think of the NFL, and how they are the ultimate entertainment monster in the United States of America. No question about that. But even I underestimated how wild Kansas City would go for the NFL draft, and I always try to figure out when things like this happen, is this because we don't have enough entertainment options here, or would it be this way everywhere else? Well, it hasn't been this way everywhere else. I think we're looking at a shocking number of people. They're estimating some 300,000 people will attend the draft over 3 days. That will be a stunning sight in Kansas City beginning on Thursday at the Liberty Memorial and Union Station, where they've built the most massive stage ever for the NFL draft. This has a chance to be absolutely wild and unprecedented. Of course, your Chiefs have won 2 Super Bowls in the last handful of years, and Kansas City loves the National Football League. There will also apparently be people coming from all over the country and the Midwest. There are obviously destinations where people can drive here for the draft, where they're fans of maybe the Broncos, the Bears, the Cowboys, where a lot of regional teams, the Vikings, maybe even the Tennessee Titans, some of those fans will be coming up. So I think we're going to see a huge crowd, and I definitely underestimated the number of people that would go wild for this thing. It isn't my cup of tea. I like the draft. I like watching the draft on TV. I especially like the first round. I love it when there's trades. I love it when things get exciting. I get really excited when the Chiefs trade up because I know they've latched onto somebody they really, really, really believe in. And the Chiefs like to trade up a lot. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I'm going to guess since Andy Reid got here, they've traded up a lot more than they've traded down. Or when they have traded down, it's been insignificant. It's something in the 5th round where they move down 7 slots and you go, well, who cares at that point? But I think of the Chiefs and I think of a team that's aggressive, that stockpiles draft picks, likes to move up, likes to get the player that they want. You know, board and position be damned. There's our guy. Let's go get him. Patrick Mahomes certainly fit that category. And we love seeing that out of the Chiefs. Will they do that in this draft? Maybe. They're not in a great position to go draft a great player. We know that. If they move up, even, you know, from 31 to 25, we're going to be saying to ourselves, wow, they got a guy they really cherish. Generally speaking, when the Chiefs are at the back of the draft and they move up a handful of slots, let's say they did move up to 25, it's probably the guy on their board that they rate 15th or 16th. So they're not getting the 25th pick. They're getting somebody that's just been sitting there and they go, wow, we've got him rated way too high at this point to not make a move and go get him. So we will watch for that. We will also watch for any shenanigans in Kansas City. We hope it's a peaceful crowd, that it doesn't get too out of hand. We know that it's going to have a big economic impact. Whether that will be $100 million or not remains to be seen. Hotels are full downtown. It's going to be a giant event. Fall Out Boy is playing Thursday night. It's a band after the draft. Motley Crue will play on Friday night after the draft. Thundercat on Saturday. This, of course, is the way that the NFL keeps the fans there all night long. Although the Chiefs kind of have that built in Thursday night because they're picking right at the end. So that's sort of built in for Thursday night and for Fall Out Boy. But the way they do this is they have bands play after the draft. That keeps the fans there, or a lot of the fans there, to make it look better on television. They know what they're doing. This is now a massive deal. It's not unlike the Super Bowl. They merge entertainment, fans, food, fun, beer. And yes, Bud Light is the presenting sponsor of the NFL draft. They merge it all together and make one big giant show and party out of the whole thing. Travis Kelce's having his podcast party on Friday night with his brother. That thing is sold out. If you want to go, you're going to have to call Tickets for Less. If you want to go to Kelce Palooza, the only way to go now is ticketsforless.com. Use the promo code KKHI. You can get into that thing Friday night, but the only way to go now, since it is sold out, is Tickets for Less. Ticketsforless.com, 685-3322. Either one, use the promo code KKHI and save 5 to 15% off depending on the tickets that you're purchasing. Anyway, I digress. That thing's sold out. So the entire week is going crazy. It's nuts. I had Danny Klinkscale on a patron podcast last Thursday. We call it Between the Lines 2.0. And we got a chance to talk a little bit about the draft. And this is kind of where we start is, okay, this Kansas City draft is going to be something unlike anything anybody's ever seen, apparently. It's going to be the mother of all NFL drafts. Will we look back, you know, in 10 years and think, wow, that was small time. It's so much bigger now. Or is Kansas City the pinnacle here and we're sort of maxing this thing out for what it can be?
We've talked about this many times on this podcast, and I have in my own. I've long past the point of telling people how they should have fun unless it hurts somebody else. But the thought that, you know, hundreds and, you know, they supposedly when they still had the number one pick or right up the top, the Commanders were going to have, you know, two hotels worth of people coming out here. But that's astounding to me. I mean, now that there's Fallout Boy and Motley Crue, okay, I get it, but those same people wouldn't travel. Probably most Commanders fans you polled might not even know who Fallout Boy is, but even though they're one of the biggest acts in America, but you'd never travel across the country to see Motley Crue. But to go and see something that really is not an event per se, it's an announcement of where people are going to play football, it's remarkable. It's remarkable, and it just shows the impact of the National Football
League. Okay, so this is a big deal. Thousands of people are going to show up. We got concerts afterwards. I think that's a great way to keep people there and make it look even better on television. I think that's what the bands are all about because that won't be televised. The Chiefs draft at the end, but let's say the Chiefs were picking ninth this year. You could just see a lot of people emptying out and going home after the Chiefs pick. So they've sort of figuring this out as they go, and it's getting bigger every year. I think this is going to be the biggest draft yet. Do you think I don't know what else they can do, but do you think 10 years from now, we'll look back and think what happened in Kansas City was small time, or is this maybe the pinnacle and it's something that over time will sort of fizzle out, not fizzle out from a coverage standpoint, but fizzle out in a way that there's only so much you can do with this for fans?
I would think that over the next few years, we would see it peaking because I think there are probably a reasonable amount of people who are attending the draft because it's a happening and whatever, and they come from elsewhere and they're going to whatever destination it was, be it Nashville or Kansas City or wherever. It's been Chicago, I think. And so those people probably will have done it. They will have seen that it's kind of a fun party, but probably not worth spending a bunch of money for. So I can't imagine what more you could do with it. Now, for Kansas City, they're remarkably lucky in the standpoint of, you mentioned, the Chiefs aren't drafting ninth. They're drafting at the end of the first round. From this point forward, they're not likely to trade that draft pick until the night of the draft. Now, maybe they'll trade up, but they wouldn't trade up significantly. So the Chiefs are going to be on the clock, per se, for most, if not all, of the first round. And that's great. And even if somebody doesn't care about Fallout Boy, they're probably going to at least stay for the Chiefs pick. If you bothered to go and you're from Kansas City, you probably want to see who the Chiefs pick and take pictures and whatever. So that's probably a real break for Kansas City. But I can't imagine, what more are you going to do? You have bands afterwards. You have all kinds of fan fests. You have food trucks and all that other stuff. They have a gigantic stage. I don't see how you could make it any different from a entertainment standpoint. If they changed up the structure of the draft and there was a lottery instead of, that would be decided before then. I would say that we're probably going to see it peak. That would be my guess, but it's the National Football League. So betting against them increasing the popularity of something is probably a fool's errand, but I'll say that it should peak.
There's a pretty interesting take from Danny Klinkscale. This should be the peak of what the NFL draft can be. I don't know what else you could add. I guess you could add some sort of sporting event to it. Maybe we could have boxing matches or UFC fight night around the draft or something like that. And perhaps that happens sort of adjunct to the event somewhere in a place like Miami in the future or something like that. But this is going to be crazy. I mean, this is going to be crazy. Even I'm buying into the hype now of the NFL draft in Kansas City. This is going to be, I may have to go down there. I may have to go down and check it out. I think I'm going to go check it out on the weekend part after it thins out a little bit. I think that would be the best way. I do like watching the Thursday night draft at home. Certainly done that for a number of years to follow it, see who's getting what. It's also a great preseason analysis from all the analysts they have on of what each team has and how they look for the 23 season. There's a lot more to the draft than just, hey, they picked this player. It's a pretty good refresher course of who has signed what players, who's playing where, what the teams are going to be this year. I enjoy the draft night for that as well. I was a guest Friday on Chris DeGaulle's radio on Talk Radio 710 KCMO. I love going on with Chris and Pete Mundo on his morning show. These are great guys. They have a great radio station. You should be listening to it when you can. And Chris had me on and wanted to talk a little bit about the NFL draft, but from a different perspective. He thinks one of the big stories around the draft could be, and I think we both agree we'd like it to be, biological males playing in female sports. We saw in Detroit last week, the general manager got asked about trans playing in women and girls sports, and he stood right up and said, hell no, I stand with women and girls. I'm waiting, of course, for Mahomes or Andy Reid or whomever to be asked about this, and Chris DeGaulle wanted to have a discussion with me over whether or not we think this will be something that comes up during the draft. Here is the Chris DeGaulle show, a little clip from that on Friday as I was his guest.
When people like Brad Holmes, Kevin Keatsman, the general manager for the Detroit Lions, is asked in a press conference about this issue, and he says, quote, I support women and girls in sports. How much of a plank is that to walk for a guy in that position? Or by the way, anybody in the NFL? I mean, the most popular, I mean, we got the draft coming to town. Mm-hmm. All these issues, it's interesting. Even here locally, we'll get into the shooting story a little bit, but I guess it's kind of the same theme. When we're about to host an event like this, Roger Goodell and all the stars of the league come to town and up-and-coming stars, and then there's hot-button stuff like this, I'm always intrigued by how the NFL handles it and the players they're in. I mean, it's a license to print money, so they got to be careful, right?
I'm dying for people to ask. Patrick Mahomes is a conservative. Andy Reid's a conservative. I'm dying for them. Patrick Mahomes has two daughters and a wife that played collegiate sports. Yes. I'm dying for someone.
Brittany doesn't have an opinion?
Oh, I'll guarantee you she has an opinion. And you know what? The brother, Jackson, is, I guess, reportedly, he's gay. And I don't think he'd be for it, to be honest. I think he'd be the guy to
Most
ask.
Gays aren't.
Right. They're like, wait
Most
a second.
Gays aren't.
What is
yeah.
this? So here's what's awesome. They asked this general manager of the Lions, and he just said, whoa, you want to talk about stand my ground? I'm standing my ground here, okay? I stand with women and girls that they compete against women and girls, okay? So they asked Patrick Mahomes last week, the local media, who's doing pre-draft stuff. They asked him about the Ralph Jarl shooting, and I didn't think it was necessarily fair. And Patrick Mahomes would have been totally fine in my book if he just said, look, I don't know enough about it. I can't comment. What he said was, man, that's a terrible thing. I heard he got shot, and we hope that the justice system works. So he kind of knew how to answer it without saying anything. But they better start prepping their answers here for this question because this one's really simple. I think Patrick Mahomes should say, because I think he believes this, I stand with women and girls to play in their own leagues and against each other, and the perfect solution here is to have trans leagues. Great. Who could argue with that? Because if he stands just with women and girls, now the trans community is going to hate him or whatever. The easy way out on all of this is I stand with women and girls to compete against each other. And anybody that's transgender, we should start trans. You don't think these liberals in the Ivy League or the Big Ten would have trans volleyball or trans swimming or whatever? I mean, they may not have big numbers of athletes, but there's got to be people out there that want to compete in those categories. Let them. Let's see what that looks like. Let's see if anybody cares.
Kevin, if you had like a celebrity transgender golf outing, would it be called a Trans Am?
Well, yes, and I've been using the term trans like sports, that? And you have to pause, or you're saying transport.
Trans Am, I like Trans Am. Pro Am, Trans Am.
In Australia, 2 weeks ago, a biological male won the Euro-Asia LPGA Tour event. Won it. Took the first prize, $100,000 home, stole the money right from all the women in the field. Okay, so there were my thoughts with Chris on Friday, and you know, the man winning all the money in the Australian women's golf tournament a couple of weeks ago should have been a giant lightning rod for an awful lot of people. This is a winning issue for Republicans. There's no question about it. This is a winning issue that we need to probably keep alive until 2024, and we'll see if we can do just that. KKHI is brought to you by Advanced Medical Imaging. Online at medimageks.com. If you need an MRI or a CT scan, why go with your expensive hospital chain and wait 3 weeks to get your test done? A lot of folks will go to their doctor. You're in a chain. You're in a hospital system. They say, yeah, we want to schedule you for an MRI or a CT scan. Then you have to wait 3 weeks. That's ridiculous. You don't have to stay in their system. If a doctor says go get a scan, you can go wherever you want. Advanced Medical Imaging will use your insurance. It will work there. If a doctor tells you to go get this done, and you can get it done today or tomorrow, why would you wait? See what's inside and see now at Advanced Medical Imaging, online at medimageks.com. Don't forget they do heart scans out of pocket for under $100. You can get your plaque score and see how your heart's doing for under $100. Call Tricia at Advanced Medical Imaging and make your appointment today. 785-856-0224. These folks are absolutely the best. Jessica and I go once a year and get the heart scan done. If we ever need a scan, we will definitely be on our way to Advanced Medical Imaging, online at medimageks.com. Finch Knife Company. Keep life from getting dull with a Finch pocket knife. What a great new collection they have out. The Hatfield series of Finch pocket knives are just stunning. They've got beautiful pocket knives you're going to be so proud to carry on you every day or to keep as a collection. They have mother of pearl handles, bone handles, pearl wood. It's just gorgeous. 154 centimeter U.S. steel blades. They are good, sharp, strong, sturdy, beautiful knives. Finch Knife Company. Every single one comes with a Band-Aid. It's just kind of a wink and a funny. I like that. FinchKnifeCo.com is the website, FinchKnifeCo.com, or visit Shields, the Bullet Hole, or Teague Tractor to see them in person. Keep life from getting dull with a Finch pocket knife. Back 9 Development is your custom builder. If you're thinking about building a custom home, it would behoove you to sit down for, you know, at least an hour with TJ Volkanskis and say, what kind of ideas do you have? Do you have an architect you want to bring? Does he have an architect he wants to bring? Do you want to base it off of a home that you saw somewhere else? Spitball, kick around the ideas with TJ at Back 9 Development. Say, this is what we're looking to do as we're getting ready to custom build. And it may be even a commercial project. Maybe you're expanding your business. Maybe you need a new space. TJ's great with those projects as well. Back 9 Development is the Midwest premier development company. Back9development.com. Call TJ for a private appointment, 785-236-0161, online at back9development.com. I mentioned on a podcast last week, we were talking about trans rights, then we were talking about the Ralph Yarl shooting in Kansas City and the continuation, the abomination of just continuing to play the race card over and over and over. In this country, we saw Kansas City Mayor Quentin Lucas on Face the Nation this weekend, and he went on there and played the race card, and oh, we got all these problems with all these shootings, and oh my God, we got all these racists out there running around killing black people. We're so oppressed. This is just a terrible situation. And I said, you know, this is ridiculous. We've got these trans trying to play in women's sports, and nobody's talking about women's rights issues anymore. And they're not a minority. As we've discussed, they're 51% of the country. They're not a minority, but have we just forgotten women's rights? We're just going to flush that down the toilet with trans sports and things we're doing to women? I think this is very dangerous politically for the left. I think women are waking up to it. And I made an off-the-cuff remark. I said, you know, we've forgotten how oppressed women have been in this country because black men were able to vote before women. Black men voted before white women in America. I don't think very many people know that today. I think politicians on the right should be beating that drum over and over. And here's why. I said, I think I've got this right. I wasn't sure. I said, I got to look it up again. I remembered it, but I wasn't sure. Now I remember the remarkable part of this. Black men, Congress passed the 15th Amendment for black men to vote in this country in 1869. That's the 15th Amendment. It took America, after black men got the right to vote with the 15th Amendment, it took 50 more years for women to vote. 50, that's my whole lifetime to this point. 50 years is a long time. Black men in America had the right to vote 50 years before white women. What? Are we focused on the wrong discrimination? Seriously. 50 years. It wasn't until 1920. Hell, my dad was born in 27. I had uncles, aunts and uncles that were alive when women couldn't vote. That seems way too close to me. I don't think of Abe Lincoln as being very close to me or my family or the Civil War. That seems like zillions of years ago. But the Roaring Twenties? That's when all my people were born. My dad, my uncles, my aunts and uncles were all born. My mom wasn't born until 33, but they were all, there were a lot, there were kids. There were little kids, and women couldn't vote. That's unbelievable. 50 years, folks. 50 years. Black men voted for 50 years before white women in this country. Wow. Where's that? We're terrible at marketing. We're terrible at marketing. Somebody needs to start marketing back against this constant skin color racism in this country. And by the way, it's fake. It's fake because the Democrats just go constantly pandering to black voters, convincing them that, you know, Republican equals racist and you can't vote for these people. And Democrats really don't stand for minority inclusion. They've gotten themselves into a pickle, you know, because they are often now forced to pick between which minority they want, whether we're going to go today with skin color or gender preference or religion or what, you know, they bounce around. It's like, we got one against another here. Which minority are we going to pick? It's insane. How about you don't pick any of them? How about everybody's the same? We're all Americans. Wouldn't that be okay? And I'll point to this case because this is remarkable. This proves how bad Dems are at what they say they're great at. They want diversity. They want diversity in hiring, in business. They want minority ownership of businesses. How many times have you heard Democrats over and over and over and over? We need more minority business owners. More minority business owners. Here's the problem. They got to pick and choose between their minorities. They don't want Cuban Americans to own businesses. Those people are conservative. And apparently the Democrats aren't real fond of Asian Americans either. And we see this in crime stats, but I think we also see it with Democrat politicians. There was a man born in Korea, came to America at age 6, learned English by watching Sesame Street, went to Princeton, wound up on Wall Street, became extremely wealthy, and a year ago offered to buy a company called Tegna for almost $9 billion. It is the third largest broadcasting group in America. I believe they're the single largest owner of television stations. But they're the third largest broadcast group in America. This is a massive media company. I think maybe Tegna is owned by, Channel 5 is owned by Tegna here in Kansas City. Maybe not. My son Cameron worked in San Antonio at a TV station for a while that was owned by Tegna. It is a massive company. And this is a good buy. It's been set in stone. The deadline to get the deal done is May 22nd. The Democrats run the Federal Communications Commission. For a year, they have had the opportunity to vote up or down, yes or no, on this sale to approve it to a man named Soo Kim, who apparently, as a Korean-American, is just a little too conservative for them and would own $9 billion worth of broadcast facilities in America. Ted Cruz has learned of this. Apparently, the Republicans in D.C. are just now seeing this, and they've got about a month to get this thing done, and Cruz and other Republicans are now applying pressure to the FCC to have their vote on this. There is no reason to not approve this. This is a solid sale. It's a legitimate deal. It's a merger type thing. It doesn't make them some sort of monopoly, nothing like that. It is basically an ownership change. It will go from being, sounds to me like, reliably liberal corporate ownership to a man that they're afraid of in Soo Kim. And so they're not approving this. Again, Democrats aren't really for minority-owned businesses. They're owned for Democrat-owned businesses. They don't like Twitter anymore, do they? Why do they love big tech but not Twitter? Well, they don't like Elon Musk. He wants freedom, liberty, and free speech. And apparently, Nancy Pelosi and Liz Warren are on this commission and have votes or have authority over the FCC to push whatever it is that they want with the FCC commission. And it hasn't happened. They've had a year to vote yes or no. They could vote no. They control the thing. They could shoot it down. Here's the problem. They have no reason to shoot it down. The only reason to vote no is political. And they know this. And I think they know that they can't vote no. And they've just been kicking it down the road, kicking it down, kicking it down, thinking, let's not let this guy take this over. Let's make it as far down as we can because the 24 elections, let's not let him get control. That's what this looks like to me. I'll keep my eye on this and let you know what happens over the next month, but this is a big deal. Local broadcasting is still a big deal. When you own that many stations and have that many influence, that much influence around the country in so many places, this is a big deal. And these people on the left do not stand for minority-owned businesses. They do not, because you can't get much more of a minority in this country than a man born in Korea, came here at age 6, learned how to speak English watching Sesame Street, picked himself up all the way to Princeton, graduated with honors, went to Wall Street, made $1 billion, and now wants to buy the third largest broadcasting group in America. And the Democrats want to stop him because apparently they're not really for minority-owned businesses because it doesn't get much more minor than a Korean-American. Truly does not. But that's the sham that they are. Meanwhile, we have a win taking place, which is nice. I always like wins. This, of course, goes back to Trump. 2019, Trump was pushing oil, drill, baby, drill. We had really low gas prices. ExxonMobil was loving where the president was taking them. It looked like before COVID he was going to win re-election. We're all in. ExxonMobil in Beaumont, Texas, about an hour from Houston, decided they were going to pour $2 billion cash into expanding a refinery there that essentially is like building a new refinery. They did it, it's complete, and it's pumping. Here are the numbers on how great, I mean, oil. The oil business just gets clobbered all the time. They're really good at what they do, okay? They built this thing on time and on budget. They got a gold rating from the Environmental Protection Agency. They will have net zero carbon emissions from the distiller, the refinery by 2030. They are pumping out 250,000 more barrels per day, which equates to 4 million gallons of gas per day, or enough fuel for the entire day to fuel 61,000 long-haul trucks. They did this like nobody's ever done anything before. They have expanded massively. They did it on time with no injuries, no deaths, nothing. And there's nothing wrong with this industry. And ExxonMobil just did that. So we have 4 million more gallons of gas per day in America now from America just because they expanded one refinery. They said the expansion, this was a massive expansion. The massive expansion of this refinery was equal to opening an entirely new refinery. And it's created 1,700 more jobs. There's just everything here is good. Everything is good. And they got a gold rating from the EPA. I don't know what more you could want. I don't know why we're fighting this fight. I don't know why we're not drilling and keeping prices down and helping people out whenever we can. It seriously is just flat out beyond me. Oh, it was not flat out beyond me on the golf course yesterday. My last couple times out, I've played really well. I'm pretty excited about this. I found like this thing, nothing technical. I'm not a big technical golfer. I don't worry about the swing. I just feel it with my hands, face the club on the ball, do what you can. But I found this way. It's not the zone. I wasn't in the zone Sunday. You hear people say they get in the zone. I've been in the zone golfing where I've played really, really well for like an entire day, and you can't believe the zone. It's a wonderful place to be. I have found a way to not care. Like not care. Jessica and I played with another couple, the Smitties yesterday. They're just wonderful people. And we didn't have any bet. There was no pressure. We played different tee boxes. We played at a nice pace. We played in 4 hours at Falcon Ridge, a fantastic golf course. And I just didn't care. And if you're not, Like, I got a the buddy you can't mention on the podcast right now couldn't chip a ball around a green if he tried. He goes to the practice area and he chips great. He gets on the course and his brain locks up. He's like worried about hitting a bad shot. Well, you can't be worried about hitting a bad shot. You just got to hit the shot. So the last couple times I've been out, I try to act like Freddie Couples. If you ever watch Fred Couples play golf, I want to play like Fred Couples. Excuse me. Fred Couples looks like he just doesn't care. You know, it's just so free and easy, and I don't care about this next shot. I'll do my best, but whatever. So I've kind of found my way into that, and it went really well. But we had a great time playing over at Falcon Ridge, where they have some memberships available. They still have memberships available at Falcon Ridge, Prairie Highlands, and Staley Farms this year. People move, whatever. They lose a few members each year. They add a few members. Canyon Farms is closed. They're full. These will fill up this year. Falcon Ridge is a tremendous place to play in Lenexa, Prairie Highlands in Olathe, Staley in the Northland. You're going to love these golf courses. If you'd like to join and play all the golf you want to play for one low monthly price, go to greatlifegolf.com. That's greatlifegolf.com. They have recently merged with Brown Golf, and there's now 58 properties that they have, including Hilton Head, Florida, North Carolina, Georgia. You join one of these clubs, you play for really cheap at all these other places. 58 golf courses around, man. This is great. You should check it out. GreatLifeGolf.com. TicketsForLess.com. There you go. As I said, you want to see the Kelce show? You're going to need TicketsForLess.com. You want to go to a big concert coming up? They're all coming. TicketsForLess.com. Use that promo code KKHI. And, of course, our friends at Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch. Online at JoslynsJewelry.com. The jewelry you'll recommend to your friends and family. David and Cameron are in there every single day. Gary generally is in on about Wednesdays and Saturdays now. Great guy. It's an old-fashioned way of doing business. So many of you go to Joslyn's and send me an email and say, wow, you're right. What a great experience. It is a great experience. Okay? There are some things you don't even want to think about buying online. Okay? Get out there and touch and see the gold and the silver and the diamonds. That's right. Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch. Hey, the Royals lost on Sunday. They find new ways to lose. They were playing well. They hit a couple of bombs in the game. Pasquatch hit a home run. Bobby Witt hit a home run. The Royals debuted their new home run mask. This is unbelievable. So the Angels have been hitting bombs against the Royals for two nights, and they've got this hat they pass around. Whoever hits the home run has to put the hat on in the dugout. And it's, you know, it's like the football players. When you get the turnover, you get the battle axe or whatever the toy is, you've got the interception or the fumble recovery. You get to wear the chain for a while, whatever it is. So the Angels have this, and the Royals saw it, and they thought, well, we need a mask. So the Royals now have a mask. It's a silver mask. It looks like the gladiator mask. Bobby Witt said, yeah, because it's us against everyone else. Basically, nobody believes in us. And you know what? A lot of times players say that. It makes no sense. Travis Kelce was spewing that nonsense last year. I'm like, what? Nobody believes the Chiefs? It's the stupidest thing I ever heard. The Royals, you're right. Nobody believes in you. Nobody believes in you. Nobody. So you're right. I don't know when you're as bad as the Royals should be putting a mask on when you hit home run. I think the only time you should wear the mask when you homer is when you have the lead. Like if you're down 7-0 and a dude hits a solo bomb in the seventh inning, I don't think you put the mask on. I think with a crappy team, that's a bridge too far for me. But anyway, on Sunday, the Angels hat got worn out. The Royals were clicking along, had a chance to win a game. Everything's going well. Sixth inning, falls apart. Yeah, this is what the Angels did. Back-to-back-to-back home runs to take the lead and beat the Royals. They were wearing out their hat. They should have a special hat for back-to-back-to-back home runs. There should be a special hat for that. The Royals are hapless. It's the only way to describe it. I want to like this story, but I hate this story. Matt Duffy is off to the best start of any Royals hitter. He was hitting 390, I think, entering yesterday's play. He's a veteran. He was on the Giants World Series team, I think, that played the Royals. Matt Duffy's a nice ball player. He's actually gotten better as he's gotten older, but he's 32. And he's been a really good player for the Royals so far this year. And he looks like a stand-up. I've got nothing bad to say about Matt Duffy. Michael Massey was supposed to be the bat in the lineup this year that really helped change the Royals. This is their next big hitting star. Michael Massey's going to be the guy. And he right now, of all players with 50 or more at-bats in Major League Baseball, he's the worst offensive player. He has the lowest average, the worst OPS. Like, he sucks. He's just been awful. Michael Massey's just been automatic out after automatic out. I think he got a couple of hits on Sunday to raise his average to 140. Ugh, Michael Massey. But he's a big-time hitting prospect. He's really struggling. Again, I want to like this story, but this kind of stinks. Matt Duffy, the veteran, went home last week and grabbed his favorite book off the shelf called The Mental Keys to Hitting that helped him many years ago, and he gave it to Michael Massey. See, it sounds like a story you want to like, but you just can't. Massey's not hitting. The Royals aren't winning. They've hired all new coaches, all new approach, all new, all this stuff. And Matt Duffy's going to hand a book to this guy and hope that fixes it? I hope it does. I hope it works. I think it's an unfortunate sign that the Royals, ladies and gentlemen, just aren't very good, and they're not going to be good anytime soon. Okay, not many people watched golf over the weekend, and here's why. The regular PGA Tour event stunk. It was that weird little team thing in New Orleans, and none of the good players were in the field. And most people don't know where LIV Golf is, and if you found it Saturday night, it played overnight because they were in Australia. It's on the CW. I watched a little bit of it on a Saturday. I watched it. It was great. Phil Mickelson was on there hitting good shots. They played in Australia, in Adelaide, Australia, and they had massive crowds. I didn't see the numbers, but I heard it was well over 200,000. I mean, they crushed it in Australia. And while not a lot of people in America watched, it is a global league. They put out tweets and press releases of what time they start in different time zones with different cities. In other words, they do like Los Angeles, Tucson, Chicago, and New York, I think, were the cities they use in the United States. Here's when it starts. Tune in. And they do, you know, 24 different cities around the world because it is a global tour. This was absolutely insane. And again, I didn't watch the finale. The Taylor Gooch won. He won by one stroke. There was a team component. The Four Aces won. That's Dustin Johnson's team. These are real players. Patrick Reed, these are real players. The crowds were insane. Taylor Gooch could barely get to the 18th green at the end because they pulled the ropes down and all the fans went rushing out onto the fairway. And you couldn't find him in the crowd. There must have been, oh my God, there had to be 75,000 people on that hole. It was one of the craziest scenes you've ever seen. In the final round, Chase Koepka, Brooks Koepka's brother, hit a hole in one. And what ensued was absolute mayhem. So this stuff is all over the world right now on social media. It's on Twitter, it's on TikTok, it's on Instagram, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger after the event. What happens with a lot of entities in the world today, businesses or whatever, sports, entertainment, I saw a piece on CBS Sunday Morning about James Corden. This is the last week he's doing the Late Late Show. He said they set out in 2016 for their show, understanding that not many people watch at 12:30 at night, and knowing that if they are, they're usually like college students or whatever, going to appeal to a younger audience. What we're going to try to do is we're going to try to do small little store things, entertainment pieces on this show that we will post on social media and will go viral. And we'll be happy if many more millions of people play carpool karaoke on their phone the next day or 5 days later, watching this guy sing with Elton John in his car, than staying up late at 12:30 and watching it. They designed it a whole different way. They designed it for, we want to get the millions and millions of plays on social media. That's the way people talk with their friends. And they walk up to them and say, look at this. And I did exactly that with Jessica yesterday. I said, oh my God, look at this. Look at this hole in one by Chase Koepka. And I said, look at Taylor Gooch. You can't even find him in this crowd. And these people are throwing beers everywhere and they're playing rock music and they got DJs and they're dancing. And Taylor Gooch gets up on the stage and he pours a Australian beer into his shoe and drinks his beer out of his shoe. And everybody that watches it goes, oh my God, that's gross. But apparently that's a thing in Australia. And earlier in the tournament, some celebrity, an Australian celebrity, went walking out into the fairway and he was dressed different than her. He looked like he was somebody and they were obviously letting him do it because the security guys didn't come grab him. And he had a beer and a shoe and he did it. And then everybody was doing it. And apparently Morgan Wallen has done this at his concerts now. It's some sort of an Australian thing. And it is everywhere on social media. And the clips from the LIV Golf Tournament, again, it's not an every week thing. I get it. It's not. I love the Masters more than LIV Golf or the Phoenix Open. But I love the Phoenix Open. To me, it's number two. The Masters is number one. To me, then it's the Phoenix Open because it is so wild and so fun. And isn't that what sports is about? It's about paying customers, going, and having a great time. Nobody this year, maybe nobody in the history of golf, has ever had a wilder or more fun time than the Australians this week at the LIV Tour. It was absolute insanity is the only way to describe it. It made SEC football look calm and the tailgating. It was crazy. If you haven't seen it, go online and look at the clips. It's absolutely bonkers. All of it is crazy. You literally can't believe it. So what happens now? I don't know. Taylor Gooch was interviewed. He won. He's a good player, by the way. He won a couple times on the regular tour and said, I'm taking this money. I'm gone. He's a young guy. But he's really good. He's really good. Phil played well. There were really good players in this thing playing at a high level. And so he wins the tournament, and they say, what do you make of this crowd? He goes, well, I can't. And they had to be very careful. Cameron Smith's won a major. He's Australian. He goes, I can't insult Australia. I can't say this was the biggest tournament of my life, but they all said the same thing. We've never experienced this before. We've never played in front of crowds like this and felt what we're all feeling today. And there's Taylor Gooch, who won $4.5 million or whatever, in addition to whatever he's getting paid just to be there. And he's the happiest guy on earth, and he's drinking out of his shoe. And they all kind of said the same comment. We think this was the turning point for LIV Golf. We believe that the tournament in Australia, what just happened, this was the turning point. And Taylor Gooch said, I don't know what's going to happen in Tulsa in 2 weeks, but the bar has been raised. And you better believe the people of Tulsa and in the state of Oklahoma and around the Midwest have heard the call. I can't wait to see what happens in Tulsa and see what kind of crowds they get. Again, this tour does not play every week, so they're a couple weeks away from playing in Tulsa. Tulsa is a great golf town. The state of Oklahoma is a great golf state. Oklahoma State's the preeminent. Oklahoma State's the best golf program in America. And Tulsa is Oklahoma Stateville. All right? Oklahoma City's more Oklahoma. Tulsa's Oklahoma State. And this is going to be really, really wild and interesting to see what happens in Tulsa. The bar has been raised. Let's see what happens with LIV Golf in a couple of weeks. Again, nobody's watching on TV. Nobody knows where to find it at this point. Golf Channel won't promote it. ESPN won't promote it. It's hard. You got to be on your phone. You got to be digital to find out when LIV is playing and how you can watch it. Our final coming right up, brought to you by Fry Orthodontics, online at fryorthodontics.com. 13 locations. Your smile is for life when you visit Fry Orthodontics, and your first appointment is free if you mention Kevin Keatsman has issues. We'd love for you to do that. Don't forget Invisalign is the same price as braces. And of course, there's a location very near you. Dr. Jeremy wouldn't have it any other way. 13 locations, fryorthodontics.com. Window World is simply the best for less, the official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs. I got a great email from Colonel Cluck, the 139th Air Wing in St. Joe, and he's the mayor in a small town as well in Kansas, and they redid a building, a city building, and they put all new Window World windows in that building because of this podcast. Like, Colonel, you're awesome. I know you're listening every day. Colonel John Cluck, we had lunch with him a few weeks ago, and they do great work, that 139th Airlift Wing in St. Joe, and they're looking for young people to come join and be part of it. And you don't have to be a pilot. There's all kinds of great jobs and careers available there. If you love your country a little bit and you want to help and work, I think we're going to have him on here at some point this summer. I would like all of you to learn more about that airlift wing. That is a great, I've been there. I've done the flight simulators. We've gone up for the air show and the Thunderbirds and all those cool things. My God, these are great American patriots. They are just like us, man. Cool stuff. And my point is, thank you. I always feel weird calling him John because it's Colonel. Thanks, Colonel, for using Window World. I appreciate that. They're great. John Gillette and his team at Window World are the best. J.D. Power & Associates Customer Service Satisfaction Award. Free financing if you need it. WindowsKansasCity.com. And same thing in Excelsior Springs. Not all that far from there at Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. home with a lifetime warranty. They'll build it for you. They're going to build it for you. Give you the lifetime warranty and get your best deal that way. You may wait a few weeks while it's being built. Big deal. You get exactly what you want. That's the way to buy a new car. Chevrolet Buick GMC. The all-new GMC Canyon is available for order. Of course, the Chevy Silverado, the Chevy Colorado is the sister of the Canyon, the midsize truck. They're all there. The Buick SUV line. I'd really, really appreciate it if you give them a chance to earn your business one way or the other. RobertsRobinson.com or call my buddy Tim up there, 816-826-1563. Our final today is from the NBA, and yes, I've been watching the NBA playoffs. We're going to be visiting Spence in a couple of weeks and his fiance, Courtney. We're going to go see the wedding venue. We're going to play a little golf. We'll be out in Arizona for a few days. Then we won't see him again until October when they get married, and that's going to be fun. So we have, through the years, enjoyed going to some Phoenix Suns games, but it just seemed to be different before the NBA became politicized. Jessica and I really haven't watched any NBA all year, but we've watched a couple of Suns games now in the playoffs, and they're basically an all-star team. And they're up 3-1 over the Clippers, and it looks like they're going to win this series. They win this series, there's a decent chance they'll play a game in Phoenix while we're out there. And if they do, I think we might try to go to an NBA playoff game. But it doesn't change the fact that in the back of my mind is what this league is and what this league has become and what it has pushed on so many people that don't want to have this pushed on them. They're learning to do less of it, but there's still a hangover, a lingering effect of what they've done. I think the NBA was actually Bud Light before Bud Light. The NBA television ratings are not good. The arenas are full, but we're talking about cities where, okay, the best way to describe baseball is now it's a local sport. Like when the Royals were really good, we all watched and we all went to games and then they won the World Series. It was really great, but were people everywhere really paying attention to the Royals? No, they weren't. The NBA is the same way. At its core, it's a local sport. People in Phoenix like the Suns, but they really don't sit down and watch the Celtics play the Knicks a lot. It's just not a thing. Okay, whatever. There's just so many games. So they did this kind of to themselves. And people were always willing to forget, you know, political crap being shoved down their throat. They're always willing to forget it when their local team is good. So the Suns are good and they're doing well and they're selling out and you got all this stuff going on. But we were reminded of all this week by none other than Phil Jackson, who it's arguable is the greatest coach of all time. He, of course, led the Bulls to their titles. Phil Jackson, a great basketball coach, was on a podcast and was asked if he's watching the NBA. He says, I really don't watch the NBA. I don't. He started talking about when they did the bubble. He said they built this bubble during COVID, and it was sterile and it was stupid, and I didn't understand it, and they were painting stuff on the floor. And they got behind the vax, and they got involved in Black Lives Matter and social justice, and they allowed players to wear things. He said, listen, they were catering to too small of a group of people that really cared. In other words, it doesn't mean, you know, we may say the left is half the people. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the 5% that are really into that stuff, you know, that would go to a riot or a rally. They're catering to too small of a group of people. What they didn't realize was all the people that left them because of it. And it's not exactly like Bud Light. It wasn't something organized online or whatever. Jackson says the league became too political. Phil Jackson, I do not think is conservative, folks. I think he's a Democrat. I think he's a traditional Democratish liberal. He's an aloof guy, a free thinker, but he's always said his mind. And he's merely looking at this as a business, saying they screwed up. The numbers support him. TV ratings are down. They've had trouble. He went on to say, people don't want to see this. They want to see sports as non-political. They don't want to see it on the court. They don't want to see what the NBA was doing. Well, Jalen Rose couldn't stand this over at ESPN. Jalen Rose is a hard lefty now. Woo, he jumped all up in Phil's face and just ripped him. Just tore him to shreds. And said, when somebody tries to tell you who they are, you better listen to them. Or something of that nature, right? And so he's basically saying, when Phil Jackson wants to tell you he's a racist or a conservative, let's listen to him. And he's neither a racist nor a conservative. Rose went on to say, great, Phil, why don't you stop watching forever, unquote. Stop watching forever. Fights within the NBA. The best player might be the Joker in Denver. He's white, but he's from Europe, so he doesn't count. We can't call him MAGA on the Trump train. Can't, But there's plenty of people in the NBA all up in arms. They don't want, you know, the Joker to be the MVP because he's white. They think there's racist voting out there. This league has turned hard left. Oh, my God. Are they way wacky left? Way wacky left. That's the way to describe the NBA. Hey, also, thanks to my buddy Tim Cross over at Cross Kitchens for being with us here on the podcast. If you are considering any type of remodel, whether it's just countertops or a little flooring change or a complete remodel of a kitchen or a man cave or a bathroom, Cross Kitchens KC is there for you. Online at crosskitchenskc.com. He's Kansas City's remodeler. Great guy. He's on the job every day himself, the owner. The owner is there every single day. You want to talk hands-on? Somebody who's going to make sure it's done exactly right the way you want? That's Tim Cross. crosskitchenskc.com. Great stuff. Hey, thanks for listening as always. Hit that like or follow button if you get a chance. Tell somebody about the podcast this week. We appreciate you spreading the word. We're excited about the big NFL draft week. This is going to be some fun. We'll have a good time this week in Kansas City. Spring has sprung. Let's enjoy ourselves and try to be positive regardless of the things that are crumbling around us. Stay positive. Love those you love most, your family, your friends, the people you're close with, and treat somebody well today. Thank you for treating me well by listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.